On our Earth, before writing was invented, before the printing press was invented, poetry flourished. That's why we know that poetry is like bread. It should be shared by all, by scholars and by peasants, by all our vast, incredible, extraordinary family of humanity. That was Pablo Neruda. I'm Bob Holman, and this is the Poetry is Bread podcast, where poetry challenges us, makes us think, and with courage and imagination, changes the world. So today, Paul Barman is sitting across from me, MC Paul Barman, to you, thanks. And I understand you walked over here today.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say, I don't just love you so much, I also love our relationship so much. I don't just have the highest regard and care for you. The fact that we can have disagreements, and you may be like, what's he even talking about? But in my world, there have been fragmented relationships in my family of origin, which it's odd for me to bring that up right away because I normally really
We will closed. Get to your bar mitzvah in a bit.
Okay, okay. I'm normally really, I'm not going to talk to you necessarily on mic the way I would talk off mic, but have you ever heard of a genneagram? Am I saying that right? Where it shows like the family trees and there's lines.
Okay, yeah, family tree. Let's so, just say that. Yeah.
You know, everyone concentrates on lineage and who married who and who had offspring with who.
Genetic.
Right. But
family tree.
But I've seen more elaborate diagrams where like there's a dotted line instead of a solid line.
Mm.
And the dotted line is a fragmented relationship.
Aye.
So they might have been together, but then like they stopped having a relationship. And I think, you know, in this web of relationships, you know, my line to you is like extremely thick.
Yeah.
And if we ever
broad line,
if it ever shrank, it never came close to being dotted. And it, and my love for you basically knows no bounds, and I really appreciate it.
Really let you, go on and on about this. I normally wouldn't do that, but I gotta send it right back to you, you know. And I could go out right off and say, well, you know, you were my assistant back at the day, and I still have tools for jewels as my password.
You shouldn't
on my
tell
laptop.
People that. You shouldn't tell people that.
Oh, that's okay. It's a podcast. Hey, so let's go right to the roots of our undotted lines and tell me what happened on your way when you were walking here, Paul Barman.
Oh, so I was thinking about how heartbreak doesn't have to destroy the meal. It could be the spice that you put on it. And so what I wrote with that thought was looking at heartbreak less like an empty plate and more like lemon zest. Life is good. Love is second best. That was just the one. Just that was just a couplet as I took some wrong turns on the way here.
Wow. So I guess that it all comes under the umbrella of life, you know, even poetry, which I like to think of as a world unto itself.
Absolutely.
Only gets its vitality because of the breath.
I do it all the time. When I first started, it would take me like months to write a lyric. Not anymore. Now I'm very choosy about which ones I record since I can't possibly record them all. That's why I want you to hear this EP called Lovecore, which has a theme that's more or less on the positive side of things, uplifting. I guess that's what troubadours did.
Yeah.
They didn't just mire in the sadness. Their job was to
seduce.
Fill the hearts of the audience, right?
Yeah, they were definitely ready to bring it all in, you know, and breathe it all out. There was, a very seductive quality to their to their lingo land. Paul, if you want us to hear, what's the name of the EP again?
Lovecore.
If you want us to hear Lovecore, why don't you give us some of it?
Okay.
All right.
Does that mean I should like look up the lyrics?
If you don't have them memorized, look them up. Or if you prefer, just make it up as you go along. You know, that's what somebody said to Robert Creeley, that he wrote to Charles Olson, and it became the name of their correspondence, which is that a real poem, or did you just make it up yourself?
Okay, so I just wrote this on the 13th. I date all my writing now. My
good idea.
COVID poetry log is at this point hundreds of pages long. I'm sort of thinking about publishing it for my 50th birthday. What are you doing October 30th, 2024? Will you come to my 50th?
If I'm not in Japan, I think up and Bali. I think I'm back. I think I'm back by then. I've got to check.
Well, that's a weekday, so it might be like a few days before or after.
All right.
But it's next year.
Okay. Oh, I get it. No. Yes, I'm there. I'm there. Okay. I'm there with you.
Thank God. So when I wrote this, I was like, this is like a Lovecore song. It goes like this. World premiere. Protect a good mood like it's an impenetrable fortress. Death's inevitable, but pregnant, you're gorgeous. Of course you'll be tested every day you're alive. All the ills of the world, we still play like we're five. A good mood got so much behind it. A full night's sleep, a comfortable climate, and it'll get tested by an ungenerous gesture. Stamina, examine an onerous tester. Protect your mood at all costs, it's a hell of a concept. If you think you're a small boss, you gel with the wrong rep. Each time you're sure your day's turned, look where the song's kept. The strong slept on their strength, yet felt fresh from a long nap. So when I have something that I think could be useful,
right,
it gets tagged for priority. That's how I feel about that. If it was really going to be a song, or maybe it's done now that I've shared it with you, like I would like be like, well, that last part sounded like a chorus. I wonder what else I can add with the same feeling. Which beat is going to go with it, and so on. But that would be a Lovecore song. Whether or not I have to officially come up with Lovecore Part 2 isn't so important. Another one would be called I'm Proud of You. You want to hear that one?
I would love to hear I'm Proud of You. Yeah. You know, it's really hard to you know, listen to the rhymes, and because I do think you are...
Is it too fast?
Not at all. I don't want you to change a damn thing. I just want to hear it again time, you know, because I am now tuned up to listen to your rhymes, which I think just waltz all over Matilda, you know, Slim Gaylord alert here. And so... How do I catch the meaning of what you're saying when I'm you know harpooning the rhymes?
I mean, I guess my highest standard of what I grew up fanning out over required multiple listens.
Yeah, well, that's what a poem does. You know, a poem is meant to be there so that you can come back to it. And first, so same thing with watching poetry on TV or listening to it, you know, streaming, is that you listen to it again, you know. And of course, the great thing is you get to listen to it years from now when you're a different person and the poem is a different poem then.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So come on, give me the next one.
Okay. I guess I just wanted to say that I was thinking about my relationship to poetry the last couple of days leading up to this, and I was thinking about how, like, even though that's what I would want to theoretically teach were I teaching, although maybe my ideal would be broader and just call it an art class, you know, I never really became knowledgeable about poetry. But then I'm like, but I crave it, and I look for it everywhere where it's brought into other things. I don't look for it in like your collection in the same way that I look for its presence outside of your collection.
Excuse me, Paul, but isn't hip-hop poetry?
Without a doubt.
Yeah, so just say, just you can look, I don't care if you call it a song or a rhyme. That's okay with me. You don't have to. I listen, what I'm teaching, and I want to get back to that so-called theoretical that you're talking about, because it ain't theoretical. You've taught poetry.
Yes.
And I want to hear about that, because I want to give props down to
you.
Poets House.
Yes.
You know.
Is it coming back?
Yes, indeedy.
Oh, I'm so glad. Where?
Yeah, same place, but, you know, it got rained out. There was a huge flood. Somebody in the upper floors of that expensive Battery Park City building.
The upper floors are the ones that got flooded?
No, they left the bathtub on or something.
And get out of here.
The lower floors got it, you know, and it was the COVID and nobody was around. And by the
Did
time
they ruin the Augustans?
The paintings are fine. The books are fine. It's just, believe it or not, it's the architecture that got the knock. You know,
so I love that space so much.
It's beautiful. Are we going to get back to where I was
so
before
check
we
this
want
out.
To get back to where
I'm
we
I'm going
to
tell you something your dad never told you. I'm proud of you, and nothing can hold you back from anything that you put your mind to. Look back at all your accomplishments. You'll find it's true. What? Don't tell me you got nothing accomplished. You're here, aren't you? Survival's a strong wish for everyone absent. Oh, I'm still aiming low? You think absence is weakness? Say it ain't so. You look down on those who didn't make it to justify misplaced low self-esteem. Don't tell yourself what you won't tell a teen. That person in the mirror, that's your best friend. So show some respect before your disappointment presses send. That disappointment is trying to protect you, which worked in the moment, now it's extra to get through. All that stuff you accomplished was no accident, that's you. Bob, let's share some jackfruit. I'm going to tell you something since your mom's not around. Turn off all the noise and feel how calmness can sound. Feel that rush of energy. We love you so much. Oh, shucks, it's so hard to feel. It's easy to go nuts. Tell a critic, take a sick day. Thanks for your service. You helped in a big way. You played the role that was needed. And now that it's done, you can leave it. What will the critic do now that it's set free? All one's critique can now be let be. You don't need to be fixed. You're the tits and the pasty. A tasty living being, you get me? Heavens to Betsy, you're killing the game. Which voice should I listen to? All of them, especially when you blend with the smallest one. I need to go to a different... this is not the
updated document. Okay. Now, wait a second. Don't bother about going to the updated, because we know it's improved, and you know you're going to... The updated one is going to get improved, and we know it's going to all get... Listen, so let's leave it there. Let's talk about it, because, you know, in a way, you're always a Torah. In a way, you're always given, you know, you're talking to people, giving them the advice that they want to hear. It's the art of war, you know, in the way it's the art of love, you know, is what's going on here. So, and in this one, you're telling people, don't knock yourself. Go ahead and listen to yourself. What was the don't press send? You know, I'm going to ask you things, so keep it up on the screen there.
Oh, okay.
Don't press send was one of the things. Accomplish and stronglish? Was that what you said? What was the rhyme with accomplish?
Let me check.
Okay.
Looking this over, I can see the very strong influence of my therapeutic training. Have I mentioned that?
Well, no, you haven't mentioned that yet, nor have you mentioned your
voice. Oh, I
rhymed
it with
yet.
A strong wish.
A strong wish. Okay. Accomplish and strong wish.
Yeah.
That's...
You like that?
I like that. Yeah. And, but to me, it's this one sounded like you're... And a lot of times it says, don't take offense now. As they say, don't quit, do it, you know. But it sounds like you're talking to your boys sometimes. You know?
Why would I be offended by such a thing?
Oh, I don't know. I just thought I'd throw that in there.
I was bracing myself for a comparison with someone I find
who, distasteful.
So-so.
Who would that be?
I don't. They're not
don't
top of mind.
Don't bring it up. Don't bring it up.
No one. No. Of course it is. Of course it's for my kids, and it's also for my internal kids.
Thank you, because we all have them, and we don't love them enough, I guess, you know, And I think you...
There's no guessing about it.
Okay.
We don't love... We don't show them even remotely enough love. And so where I'm at now is don't avoid mixed feelings. Embrace them. Be like... So this is not me talking. This is my training. It's you take these mixed feelings and there's ones in there that we're used to batting down in favor of the more favorable one. Like, this is the real me, but none of them are the real you. There's no inner child. There's pantheons of inner children. And they pop up all the time, and we give them as much love as humanly possible. And not to get too dogmatic about it, but they often... One thing that they all have in common is they're trying to help, and they're bad at it.
That's beautiful.
So we just ask them what they want, tell them how great they are, figure out how they can respectfully give you some space, and let the thing that there's a heart, it's hard to name,
let
drive
go.
A bus.
Yeah, drive. Yeah, that's who drives my bus. The thing that's hard to name.
Yep. And I must cite my man, Eli, a.k.a. DJ Memory Man, who is like a brother and who educates me in this and who I've had such long conversations with for so many years. A lot of this is his language, and that shouldn't be a big deal because his language is in my songs as well.
You know, this is what you just did, that acknowledgement is an essence of the oral tradition. You know, since there ain't no footnotes written down there that you can go to a bibliography where you can check it out, the way that a lineage gets handed on, the way that you is to give thanks verbally, the same way that the poem is getting spun out, you know. So that's just to say that when you do that, which is so unusual, you know, so I think very important in the revolution of consciousness is going on right now as we switch to digital, is that we maintain these connections with orality, that we, you know, giving credit is something that you don't, you know, that ain't, you know, slavery does not give credit. You know, we have not, you know, reparations is what's needed right now so that we can get back on track, you know, is to give credit, is to acknowledge. And there you are with DJ Memory. I really like that. That's cool. And it's, if you've just tuned in, this is Poetry is Bread. And I never thought of it as some kind of self-help, quote unquote, you know, and I even don't want to use those words necessarily. But what is going on here is that MC Paul Barman, our guest today, is speaking from the heart to all of us. And there is some advice in there on what to do next. You know, I know that every time I finish a sentence, he's got a rhyme for it. So when I said, what you got to do next, what popped into your mind?
That disconnection is the true hex.
Oh, I love working with you, which of course is nothing but play. We were going to get to talk a little bit about the poem song lyric trifecta or what have you, you know, we're hip hop. You know, it was LL Cool J who said to me in 1980, whatever it was, after I said to him that he was the poet of the year for having rhymed Ayatollah with granola.
Which song is this?
Oh, God, if I could remember that. We'll look it up. Somebody call us in right now because this is in the ether only. And I said to him, you're the poet of the year. And he said to me, Bob, don't call me a poet. That is economic death. And at that point, It was before hip-hop had reached the point where it wanted to be poetry.
When
wanted
did that happen?
That happened when Def Jam went to HBO mm-hmm. for its poetry, and then all of a sudden, I mean,
I think he's right. Unfortunately, music has caught up to poetry.
Well, it's bigger, you know. I mean, fact is, rap is a form of poetry, you know, if you want to say that. But the other fact is, it's bigger than poetry.
Yes.
So how do you understand that? Well, obviously you understand it because you're a poet and you don't mind handling those contradictions, just like you're saying you don't mind not having an inner child because you have pantheons of them.
Well, genre is a big compromise anyway. We just use these as sort of abstract code to get on the same page. But I think any artist who's really committed to being an artist, art is the only, you know, shortcut word. And even then, it's like, whatever.
Yeah. Okay, let me give you another one. Are you ready?
Let's go.
Abstract code.
I'm supposed to rhyme with that?
Yeah. Well, come on. You have to say that?
A hazmat robe? Okay. That's not perfect.
I'm going to do this a lot here today because I know this is what we can do. You know,
crab snack a la mode.
Oh, a crab snack a la mode. Come on. I'm in heaven. Leave me alone.
Love LL Cool J, by the way.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, Progenitorix, you know. Yeah. What other hip-hop influences do you want to give cred to here? Bring up.
So many. I mean, the late 80s was just so incredibly rich. You know, with the caveat that everybody likes best what was out when they were 14.
Mm.
Like, for example, I'm a little older than Billy Woods, who has a new record out right now called Maps. And he's working with a producer named Kenny Siegel, who's just great. And he has an alphabet book. It's like an anarchist ABCs. I forget the exact title, but you would really dig it.
Mm.
And it's a beautiful book. And when it gets to I, he says Illmatic is the best hip-hop album of all time, which I'm not mad at. Very formative record for me. But it's... No, I would presume that I'm that much older than him. Than I would imagine Illmatic came out when he was 14. That's like the rule of thumb.
Mm.
But that being said, and I haven't been to the Fotografskia exhibit yet, you know, Rakim, De La Soul, Big Daddy Kane, Kool G Rap, so many. And right now, there's another fantastic pantheon, including Woods, this cat Rap Ferreira, who just opened his own kind of community center in the form of a music store called Soul Folks in Tennessee. If you're ever coming through, you should go visit his shop. Have you heard Open Mike Eagle?
I've just seen his name associated with yours.
Oh, really?
And, yeah.
Fabulous.
And imagine
fabulous artist.
Being called Open Mike.
Right.
You know,
great name.
Yeah.
He's open. Wide open.
Open mic is the root of poetry performance.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, everything has to have its way in, but it's poetry that really opens up to the street. You know, come on in and spout yourself. That's during the day at the New Eurekan. We had the open room. Miguel Algarin would not call it the open mic. I loved it. It wasn't just come up to the mic and the mic is open. It was like the room has got to open up
mm-hmm.
and you take charge of it. So let's go. But so often people were scribbling down lines on the napkins that they would, after the poetry slam, get up and speak themselves, you know, let it out, because that's what the big shift of the poetry slam for me, that's what it was. It wasn't the competition, you know, it wasn't the press, but it was the way that inspired these, you know, generations of people poetizing, people writing poems, people thinking of themselves as a poet. And hey, if they can do that, I can do this. Mm-hmm. And letting it mm-hmm. out. Mm-hmm. You know, your rhymes are masterful and do that too. They're open.
Thanks, Bob.
Yeah, you're welcome. Let's see.
You want to hear another one?
Yeah, please. It's time.
So,
Then we can talk about your bar mitzvah and your teaching. I'm getting an agenda ahead.
Oh, okay. So. Are we running out of time or something?
No, we haven't even begun yet.
I feel that way.
Did you turn on it? I think Rom's turned it on. I don't know.
Okay, let's see here. So I wrote this on the plane last week. So... I should probably use my phone after all.
Cool.
Check this shit out.
All right.
I almost put it on my index cards, but I ran out of time.
Because
when you're typing, it's longer, I think, because it's so fast. Without a doubt, what you write on affects what you're doing.
Absolutely.
Really mixed feelings about that. I feel so re-empowered thanks to the Freedom Tower. It nearly makes me forget inhaling people powder.
Ouch!
And all the documents that rained like a legal shower. Across the street from sweet and sour sauce at that evil hour. Gosh, it's so magnificent in the light. And check out the skyline, significant in height. Not at all bland blight. It's antenna, a middle finger in the night. Elevator to Spotify, I just never felt so free. Because they negotiated rent tax-free while artists skipped their fee. It's an honor to pay them to include me. I mean, I'd hate to see a vacancy. In a building so well-built, ice sheets fall on the street. Have you seen that frickin' footage of our mayor confiscating scooters? And now he wants to cut school budgets by billion? You can't make this shit up with computers. The subway's the lifeblood of the city, and now it's polluted as cruelly as school shooters, which I saw as a problem somewhere else, and now Cox came home to roosters. Let me tell you a little bit about New York. We don't play that. And no matter how degraded the subways get or how close politicians get to AIPAC, there are cosmopolitan values I refuse to let go. If they can't exist here, they exist nowhere. The bar is set low. We're not going to die as part of your addiction to convenience. The ethnic cleansing in your mind needs a clean rinse. Ooh. Take the scenic route if you don't know about NY. We mind our business in some ways, but not the ones where we then die. Send my condolences to the unhoused on this rotten globe. You think race is as real as merit? Look under the bishop's besotten robe. Hey. It's been a sex trade a nine-year-old since Columbus tripped on the Western Hemisphere, and it's clear the white man's investment's end is near. I promise you we will witness and create a paradigm shift. Cherish my gift of errant time, lift children up, cast Nazis off a cliff. Bear in mind sifting through remains. Dreams scarce to find come first before manifesting what's contained. Visualization is not some frivolous endeavor. That's why imaginations colonized live just a little better. Keep a journal, close your eyes, you're not missing out. You're so smart you see all angles, but that means risk and doubt. Wishing now for you to think bigger, huger, gigantic, and fill in missing steps between your life and the one you handpick.
Ah, oh man! Now see, this is a little. This one ain't necessarily for you, for your boys. This one is, and by boys, audience, I'm talking about two sons that MC Paul Barman and his wonderful wife have brought to us. Boys who are now approaching college, I believe, you know. But anyway, this one sounded more like, you know, a reminder to those who would bring on more cruelty and to tell them to back off. A sense of wild irony going on in through here from the first lines about the Freedom Tower and this antenna just going on. Of course, you got to get to the rhyme of paradigm shift. And Nazis off a cliff. Come on, where are we here? Well, it's clear that we're right now. Boom, you know, with that. So, you know, another voice from MC Paul Barman unleashed here today. one of the greatest parties I've ever been to was your bar mitzvah. It's, you know, and it wasn't when you were 14 and picking your 13 and picking out Wu-Tang Clan as your favorite or De La Soul. It was, I believe it was your 40th birthday party.
I realized that one of my older buddies was lying when he said turning 40 was no big deal. And I was like, I better do something to look forward to or I'm going to freak out. Mm. So the phrase MC Paul Bar Mitzvah made me laugh. So I said, let's go with that. And I found this fantastic man, Jonathan Adam Ross, who was technically a trainer and not like a rabbi or a whatever. He was a theater cat and had done this before with kids who were looking for, I guess, something, generally speaking, you can only find in New York. And on my 39th birthday, my gift to myself was figuring out how to connect with him. And then I was like, here's the idea. A rhyming bar mitzvah 1 year from now. Do you think it's possible? And that's what we did.
MC Bar Mitzvah.
It was a ball.
Oh, it was a total ball. And you look great in the chair, too. You
know? A beautiful moment.
Oh.
A beautiful moment. And, you know, it's kind of makes me think of when I bought myself, on a much smaller level, the Sony Sports Walkman. The yellow one that has like a magnetic clasp and is supposedly water resistant, like the one I always wanted. And then I could buy it brand new on eBay because I didn't have to ask, the kind of thing, like a young grown up kind of is like, wait, so I can just fulfill these wishes, even if they're not like cliched cherry red, you know, vintage convertibles? Like, and the answer is yes. And it's funny because one of my collaborators who was releasing new work on tapes didn't himself have a tape player. So I just, like a month after I got it, I put it in the mail for him. And I was like, are you going to miss this so you can play your tapes? And the answer is no. Getting it was almost all of it, like 95% of it. Anyway, I didn't mean to...
No, that was perfect. And not only that, it rhymed. So
it did?
Oh, yeah. I can't... Percent and something of it, you know. But we could go, we'll go back to the tape and we'll get this transcribed and turn that into the book. You know.
That's whoa. Right.
Just have to do that. You know. But Jew Dork.
The Jew Dork rhymes.
Yeah.
But the illest liner notes... very influenced by the Dead Kennedys and their incredible pullouts, in addition to other pieces of wax and occasionally tapes that had crazy lyric booklets. Crass would be another huge one. Are you familiar with Crass, Bob?
I must admit, I'm not Crass familiar.
This was like apparently a commune outside London during the Halcyon punk years. Mm. And I got to play you some Crass.
I got to hear some Crass. As a matter of fact, Rom, let's get some Crass in here right now. Good. That was great. It's not theoretical that you would be a poetry teacher because as far as I know, Poets House actually, you know, hired you, paid you. And,
yeah.
And you did.
That was fantastic.
The workshop.
It was a class called Language Innovation. And at that time, I was still stuck on a certain standard, I think, particularly as dictated by my personal tastes. So that was fun and awesome, and I was proud of it, and I made like a little book that went with it that was like neat. But the following class that I did years later under the auspices of Bowery Poetry during COVID, the Zoom one,
right,
which you added urgent to the Urgent Voice Magic title, or you facilitated that. I remember. Do you remember that conversation?
Yes.
Yes. That was the one where it was more like, not to sound condescending, but like, let's work with where we're at and push things and be productive and pour our bodies and feelings into it. It is a funky irony that you can work with your body when you're writing, almost like you've got a big canvas on the wall. I'm sure you saw your wife doing certain curves because of the way her body was constructed, and that's how her arm extended, and that curve was a signature curve because as a result, don't you ever feel like not just when you're blacking out writing, but also like when you're reaching deeper into your gut and you're just instantly more in it and almost, I don't want to say prouder, but like psyched?
Very well said. You know, yeah, I did see Elizabeth, you know, working, you know, the hand, the arm, the whole body into the paint. And, you know, again, you're referring to the oral tradition and the way that the words, they come through the body, mm-hmm. you know, and the words themselves are dancing and you're trying to keep up with it, mm-hmm. and you're trying to partner with the ear of the audience at the same time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the cosmos. You know, that's where it's happening. That's where art fibrillates and meanings, you know, coincide, dissolve, and disappear, and become, you know, like Higgs bosons and photons and all that stuff. You know, let's see that dictionary, folks.
I wish that we would respect what's inside more. There's like this really weird disconnect between curiosity out there versus in here.
Let me see what I think you're talking about there. I
mean, keep the money in the family.
Okay. Have you seen Ted Berrigan's book of prose, Take the Money?
No.
You know? Oh, it's wonderful. He's a great prose stylist. And of course, it includes his renowned interview with John Cage, which never took place.
Hey.
Yeah. You know, Cage loved it. But yeah, take the money and keep the money and spend the money. And the money ain't the money. That's, of course, what I'm talking about here, you know, is the family. So it is when MC Paul Barman was earlier talking about how life includes the poem. Family is, I don't know, does family and life is almost like, you know, transpositional, you know. That's almost, I mean, without family there isn't life. I don't know. I want you to find a family in poetry too, you know, and I'm talking about my grandchildren here. Mm-hmm. But you know, or my own mother, who I think you referred to earlier, who is, you know, who died a couple of years ago. Your workshop was during the COVID. And I think during the COVID is when that kind of physicality was calling for that kind of physicality as we were in our own little boxes and, you know, washing every apple and wearing gloves, plastic gloves to walk down the staircase. You know, that was a beautiful thing for you to do, to find that physicality and allow for the gymnastics that resulted in this kind of poetry that I think you're talking about. It doesn't have, it's hierarchical. You know, am I right in that?
So far, yeah.
Okay, well, that's as far as it
goes. I don't see myself disagreeing. I can't wait to do it again.
Ah, okay, well, okay, so I think you should put an ad in some place or other. Just throw it up on the internet
and
see what sticks, you know? What kind of exercises did you do? And, of course, exercise is a lovely term to use for it.
Wow, it's so funny because my first answer was going to be, I don't remember. And then that was quickly swallowed by write every day. It's as simple as that. Write every day. Ideally, on something that absorbs light and not transmits it. Doesn't matter how long it is. Doesn't matter how good it is. The same approach is drawing. Whether drawing and writing are the same thing or not, like, I would bend towards yes. But, like, write every single day. And it doesn't matter if it's a journal or something that you're dying to share. I mean, I actually really enjoy writing via something I'm sending. I like the commitment of it. And I often then go back into a transmission tear and copy and paste it into my master document. You know, that counts, right? But really write every day and then try to feel yourself improving. And that's it.
I like that idea of master document, you know, like
I have too many post-its and index cards and...
You can't have it. No, you're making a joke. I know you can't have
No, time. I mean to keep track of.
Oh,
I don't have too many of them.
Yeah.
I have too many of them to keep... And plus, you never know when I'm going to end up in front of a microphone and want access to it. So I end up dating and typing it all up, and that's just kind of what I've been doing
for
a while.
Well, that's it. That's what you do with your post-its and your notes and your...
Usually. Some of them escaped.
Hey, those poor words. Yeah, the lost poems. I was going to write a poem about my lost poems. You know, I lost a lot of poems early on. Mm. Now that you've got the computer bank.
Voice messages. No.
Voice messages are poems.
Voice
Come
memos.
On now.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you want to hear a really long one?
Yes, I do. After you rhyme Rothko with Costco.
Well, I already did. Oh, my gosh. That must have been on my first 7-inch.
Yeah.
Moth glow. The froth goes. Costco isn't a perfect rhyme.
Perfect rhyme.
Gotta be perfect. I'm like a peregrine falcon with the arrogant outcome. Okay, hold on. Let me find it. It's crazy, this one. Oh, wait, I already have this open. Okay, so the 5th was like one of the first gorgeous days in spring. By the way, the 15th is a resonant anniversary for me. May 15th, 1997 was Barmania, which was like my first big performance after performing at parties. And it was my graduation show to graduate with an art degree after all my art got lost in the mail. But that's a whole other thing. Check this out. I gotta, okay. I don't know if you know this about aging, but my eyesight isn't what it used to be, Bob. Yeah. All right.
Plug it in.
It's really long.
Go, well, that's what we like.
It's great to blow minds and climb like rose vines into where it's hollow and allows the risen sun's slow shines. On the wall we cast shadows as puppet theater. I came from the trumpet either knowing or unknowing, and it blossomed into couplet fever. I played trumpet in middle school. From arched eyebrow to awestruck blushing, from superstar to unknown, from great young hope to wise old bloke to sing-alongs with lungs on loan, from nothing to something and then back again, imagine a common goal we attack as friends. The track descends from on high, rip it in one try, which represents countless ones before. We store skill, you want boring? Sorry you asked the wrong guy. Now take a seat, we're screening Wong Kar Wai. The popcorn made me thirsty, the projector warms up and lets out a long sigh. The film is scratched, at first manhandled by many, but as it purrs into action, the effect is the envy of anybody used to having light in their strong eyes that dim in the glare like a deer in the headlights, frozen in time like a still photo, and then can't sleep in bed right. Kick back, relax, enjoy this motion feature, real rap endangered like our ocean creatures. Open research leads to so much, but I need to teach how to follow a thread. It's ironic to seek knowledge. You must first hollow your head, understand your goals or risk getting swallowed and led by marketing and SEO versus curiosity. My thirsty philosophy hunts improvement at all times. Y'all blindly led by teams of neuroscientists, not gossipy small minds. The wall's confines shrink ever tighter, and you dream of hulking out, but can a clever writer? Milked for time and attention will turn your treasure lighter. If you discover an author who nourishes your spirit, then you want to read all their interviews. Ideally, you can hear it. Better yet, read everything they've written chronologically. Watch and see how they've improved or had gaps, or dealt with real life, or overcome bad raps. I believe people should collect artists over art and adamantly stick to what you think is important, regardless who owns the chart. Some people prefer work that they could have done. Not me, I study those who rose apart from both their peers and their timeless form, yet still expose their heart. Now, when I say timeless, I don't mean removed from context. The march of time has long legs. What is intuition but a strong guess? A squashed sphere of time acts like a convex lens, so I can see which song's next. Type a sentence. Hyperpresence brings out a writer's essence. Way deeper than your average cyber sessions. Tidal waves of love flood your favorite microaggressions. This follow the thread idea is a big idea. Takes a lot of thought to really know how to do it. I guess it's more like a slow art flow chart, and yet this verse is a go-kart. Donald Glover said culture is the compression of info, but stuff be mad fluffy for the most part. And when it's compressed, it's more like chipboard. Let's follow threads together and move this ish forward. I once compared my songs to those pills that when wet expand to be sponges. Knowledge you carry your whole life is like endless free lunches. Read bunches of books. Need hunches. Okay, where was I? Knowing your goals. I must have known since 0 years old. But it's all right if you don't, and maybe I'm stubborn. I must say the skill to transcend is a thrill of a sojourn. Turn towards home, earn a sudden overpass. This fast access to the beyond reaches past the owner class. Creative energy, an infinitely dense cone of mass, pierces black holes, then strobes in a flash, while only a moment has passed. The transcendent brings us where there is no landlord nor tenant, no contract, so no contract extended. I'm attracted to my own contact lens lid and befriend the kid inside whose childhood never ended. All children are artists and you never lost access, whether you're weighed down by back breasts, unpaid taxes, or rust. Relax and board the tour bus to your must. We all have muses, not all nurture their relationships. Common excuses include lack of time, talent, or patience with. I used to want to teach art to a standard. Now I want artists to nourish them. Oh, how far goes just a little encouragement. You think people worship gods the same way as if they were enforced by the Pope? But gods like muses maybe just help pagans to be dope. The Greek muses are the most famous, and I hope you introduce yourself to them. They can be useful, yes, even if they were appropriated from conquered folks. So go further back to when info was only shared when spoken. But don't take the Ramayana as prophetic phenomena, even it helps you justify subjugation when you wanna. Ram, I wanna ask you about that. Man, these campfire tales have survived millennia, and yes, they are inspired, but that don't mean they should be the basis of law or who you hire. The ancient bards and poets were bad beyond belief, triple B. But don't trip triple E, there were plenty other adults doing harder work we'll never see. No, wait, bards bad beyond belief, quadruple B.
Whoa, yeah.
God group will free us from illusion of disconnection. The earth is an obvious ancestor since it provided both birth and protection. Ecocide is matricide, patricide, parentocide. What's the Latin root for parent? Oh, who cares? The end is nigh. For this writing burst, I'm almost late to yoga. I don't mean to go there defending artists in a toga. My skin mutiny made me gluten-free. Aging is a beast, but it looks cute on me. Oops, I went to the wrong Y again, and instead of being late, I'll just drive by a friend's new exhibition at 360 Record Shop in Red Hook. Let's look at Tone Tank's homemade action figures and get the book. That way I can support and skip the shipping and handling, plus a nice walk in the sun. Damn, I love spring. Okay, where was I? How to hyperfocus. Make tonight your locus as a writer, like your life is showbiz. If you don't keep a close beat on your goals, you may spiral inward over outward. Better to alight on a hippo in the bush than indoors as a couch bird. I gotta say that again perfectly. If you don't keep a close beat on your goals, you may spiral inward over outward. Better to alight on a hippo in the bush than indoors as a couch bird. Premium TV, y'all, is like a speedball because it gives you a feeling like you read all literary but mixed with a mild sedative, and it replaced porch culture where you could get a whiff of fresh air playing banjo with your homies, improving on your craft, sharing laughs, less manufactured stories, less lonely. I learned TV was a sedative from Bob Odenkirk. I always pay close attention to his job when he goes to work. He held close, dealt close since the days at Soda Jerks. I collect great artists in an open search. Great artists who improved till they died can count on one hand. Bob, me, Ursula, Octavia, Carlin, and young man. And we don't plan on dying anytime soon, understand? Gun jam, make peanut butter, jelly spring, clean and clean up clutter, telly goes first. Free work, free still works, message paper, mask and tape. Wiping off grape jam, stain forecasting shapes, made on the astral plane thanks to your airplane mode. Tearing down a tear-stained road with my harebrained bros. Anything's fair game in this rare pain pose. Anything I dare say goes, expectations explode. I wear purple prose like thermal robes. Soothe my vagus nerve with fragrant herbs. Give ancient words the life that they deserve. Liberate people from the fibs of great evil from whom they pay to serve. Office hours open and I don't grade on a curve. I don't grade at all. What, you want a piece of paper? Released from labor, we see peaceful neighbors. Okay, where was I? Darn, Paul, we said follow the thread, not act like a cat with a yarn ball. I just got my first gluten-free sandwich and it cost the same as a whole barn stall. That is to say, farm stand. MC's so weak they use a cock ring as an armband. I hate to say it, but it's like quality is some kind of foreign brand. Let's start a band. Sometimes I find that I'm blind as a bat. Pass me the mic, my fat balls will play the hi-hat. Really, that's all we need. Each song is a time capsule. Music sticks like pine sap, especially my rhyme rap. Wait, where was I? One mark of a great idea is when you can pick up where you left off with no loss of momentum. It's a tip-off, stress F-offs, attention is wrenched from the to-do list which just dropped. This idea shot to top spot and then some. Even when friends come, they pitch in or give space. Time is sublime, felt at a lived pace. Everyone deserves to visit a clock that's non-linear. A minier evolution, light wave strong, skinnier. Even if you've poor motor skills or a tinnier, gimme your attention 10 minutes to feel more than 10 years. This is how intelligence is accomplished. Expand neural pathways with verbal math phrases. How do you want to spend your last days? In wrathful malaise or a laugh maze? There's more options than baby Mozart or grown-up Sudoku. And when you're feeling mad smart, remember who told you. You. Hope is so dope, it's like Odeon O2. So you graduated, road rules, still time for homeschool. Slow fuel is soul food. Take it from this tricked out old mule. Wait, where was I? Oh yeah, goal renewal. Better than amphetamines, ketamine, cold brew. I hold these truths self-evident that your full attention is everything, even if the president rolls through. Gold, dude.
Solid gold that evaporates word by word. That was MC Paul Barman. This is Poetry is Bread, and I'm telling you, folks, that was a trip-a-rooney. And I'm so glad we have Paul with us today, so you can just let him wash insides. And boy, I can see that. A Paul Barman poem is kind of like going through one of those car washes. You know, slap from this side, soap from that side. The thing just keeps rolling through. Where was I? You know, that's just, I'm not, you know, that was why I wanted you to be here. Exactly. It's infinitely dense, as you put, as words were said in there, and how far it goes with a little encouragement, you know. But the infinitely dense, I think one of the things you do, and this is a hip hop trick, you know, Biggie did this, but not the way that you do this, is that is what I call early rhymes. You know, like it's traditional in most poetry I know, and I'm talking globally in multilinguistics here, that the rhyme happens at the end, and that's the mnemonic way to keep track of where you're going. But you love to flip the script, and all of a sudden you're in the rhyme two or three, four more times before you get to the end of the next line, you know, and that's a Barman. I don't know what I'm calling it early rhyme now. What do you think?
I love it. I've heard it called internal.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Well, internal rhyme, you know, that's what I'm saying. Internal rhyme is to me where something happens in the middle of a line and one line and comes back in the next. I'm talking about a rolling thunder rhyme.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, I really like that phrase.
Which I call early because it's before even the internal rhyme should come in.
Yep.
It's the internal rhyme, which the Welsh, you know, unbelievable consonant rhymes in the Welsh Cynhanaeth. But this is something else again. This is rolling, roiling, rounding. It's abounding. It's abundant rhyme. So anyway, that's just talking away.
And I want to push if your ear will identify a callback and how far that callback will last. And if it doesn't achieve a callback, that's fine. But I'm very curious about if it registers.
That is a good one. You know, in Wales, people hear the consonant rhymes of the Cynhanaeth. And by consonant rhymes, I mean take the vowels out and just listen to the consonants as they click by, you know. And so the same thing with the callback. See, that's another way to, that's a different kind of rhyme for you that I'm talking about. I'm talking about where they pile up like in a Parcheesi game or something here, right in front. But what they do is refer back lines. And you're so adept at just bringing them in as if it's some sort of a secret code that only you know, unless we got to get on the train here, you know, folks, and tune up our ears so that we can hear the callbacks.
I study stand-up pretty carefully. I think I bring a lot of the terminology and thinking into it.
I don't. And so I didn't know that phrase.
That's what callback comics do. So like it's a beautiful glue for a series of jokes or maybe stories. The process of the callback tickles the brain so much that it's almost automatically funny.
Mm.
But then it's also funny in its construction, and it's also consistent in the worldview of the comedian. So it does all those things at the same time, and a callback is one of the fundamental stand-up techniques. Another thing would be a tag, which my best definition of that is, do you know what a tag is?
I know. Well, I always thought you were referring to what it is, on the internet, but I don't know. A tag is also a signature, for graffiti,
so,
right?
So I remember when Calvin and Hobbes was first in papers, and it was in the Chicago paper before New York. And so I would look forward to seeing my grandparents for that reason, maybe one or two others. One other. The Adam West Batman. That was the other reason. The third one would be something called chocolate pizza that they would get me. Mm-hmm. And it would be like white chocolate drizzled on top to look like a pizza, whatever. So Calvin and Hobbes was funny in the third frame. And then it was also funny in the fourth frame. So the tag is the joke after the joke that's still funny. Right?
Gotcha.
So putting, you know, the worth of like charging entry or even stepping up on stage is you're way funnier than average. So the tag is important and the callback glues the bits together.
All of those are terms that could be used in investigating the poetry of MC Paul Barman. I mean, I think when you talk comedy, I always think Lenny Bruce somehow as a poet.
Sure.
In the way that, have you ever heard that the box set that Hal Wilner put together of his rehearsal tapes?
No.
Oh my goodness. And he was taping these on that, was it called Clover 1-inch tape? Or quarter-inch tape, I mean, where it's stereo in two directions. But you can also do it monaural so it's four different recordings going one direction and then back the other direction. And that's the way Shamrock, that was it. Shamrock tape, cheapest tape you could get. And he would record four tracks on each one of these little quarter inch tapes. So I think of him, I think of Lord Buckley.
Love Lord Buckley.
And I think of, gosh, who is it? Who did The Train? That was, is that Lord Buckley too? I guess that was Lord Buckley that did The Train as well as everything else. But
Luke the Drifter.
Oh, come on. Yeah. We already mentioned Slim Gaylord.
Mm-hmm.
So we could go to Pigmeat Markham. So at any rate, it's been fun having you around here today.
Where do I start with Pigmeat Markham?
Anywhere.
Okay. Not familiar.
Not, you know, just... That's a Chitlin' circuit.
I was going to ask Ram about the Ramayana. Okay.
I guess he's saying later.
I'm going to ask you about the Ramayana.
Well, ask away here.
I'm going to ask you about the Ramayana some other time.
Oh, okay, good, good. That'll be good. How about if I ask you about Michel Gondry and that and that whole world?
Sure.
Okay. So how'd you get hooked up with him?
I was introduced to him at a rooftop barbecue, and he said he was looking for a lyricist for his band. And I was like, dang. I'm looking for a band. Also, I had no idea what he looked like, except that I knew I was a super fan of his films. So I've had the amazing experience of working with like many of my favorite artists on earth. And he's definitely one of them.
Give us a few others. I'm sure they've been producers or put your lyrics onto the tracks of Wax.
I mean, Prince Paul was my favorite artist in the world when I sent him my little package in 1998. And he ended up sending me a letter on Doodoo Man Stationery and, you know, telling me he's got a beat for me and his phone number. And I called him up and I was so nervous, but as soon as he played it on the phone, I knew why this was happening. And like, you know, in a way, his work was already in my work, so I knew he would like it because he already made it. But I don't know, man. If I could go on for hours, if we're going
to
wrap it up.
I just wanted to say, you know, that kind of collaboration, you know, with a beat maker is, you know, it's like a little band. I don't, but it's also a really, you know, it's like the way poetry films can get made if they're a true collaboration between a filmmaker like Ram Devanini and a poet, you know. But this is new coming up, I think. This is, you know, digital, having a digital medium now allows for this, you know, puts more technology in there. It gets more knowledge that has to be acutely applied that sometimes you can't have it all. You know, used to be everybody was an encyclopedia. Now we're lucky if we're a footnote or a chapter or something. But
are you talking about the lifespan of a piece of art?
No, I'm talking about artists of different disciplines coming together to create something.
Very mixed feelings about that, personally.
You're talking about your prints, you know, here as...
Yeah, but that was back in the day where we made everything in the same room together. And whether you're using digital tools or not, boy, do I miss those days. And it was a godsend during COVID for me to be productive just through the internet, but I really do crave the social and the vibe exchange, making work with my partners.
Well,
in the same time and space.
You know, I'm I am astonished to see a group of youngins sitting around a table texting to each other rather than talking to each other. But, you know, I think, don't forget that for 40,000 years, poetry existed solely orally. And once writing began to appear, which, of course, was lists for economic reasons, wanted to make sure the right number of sheep and goats were at the beginning and end of the journey. It took it 2,500 years for writing to, for the printing press, for it to be mass produced, if you call that mass production, you know. From the time the internet came along till everybody has a cell phone is what? You tell me, but it's under 100 years. And so we haven't caught up yet with that.
Have you heard some of your teachings in my rhymes today that would not be there if it wasn't for you? I'm sure you recognize some of them.
Well, I just hear them. They sound fresh to me. But I guess I am getting repetitious with my...
Well, you gave me all my historical context. And I know I'm only scratching the surface, but I thank you for that.
It's the first time I've ever heard context rhyme with surface, but you can do it. Thank you very much, MC Paul Barman, for coming by today in the Bowery Poetry Studios. I'm Bob Holman, and thank you for listening to Poetry is Bread. Subscribe to our podcast to get notifications of new episodes, or check us out at BoweryPoetry.com. The podcast is co-produced by
Ram Devanini
and Flavia Roja with Ratapalix. Artwork by Fabian Ceruleo. This podcast series is funded by National Endowment for the Arts, New York State Council on the Arts, Governor of New York State, and the New York State Legislature.
Keep it coming.
I've been so happy to be with you today. Don't forget to forget.